Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
/ radio. That's dollarshaveclub.com/radio.
Coming up on the Gym Class for a Tuesday here on KGYM, we're going to talk some Major League Baseball as we get into the last week of the regular season. Joe Sheehan is going to join us coming up in just a little bit. Also, we will talk about how you can become a coach and get certified out there. We will do that in just a little bit as well. It's all coming up Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Welcome in, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, coming your way on KGYM from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. 1600 AM, the historic main gym, North Gym in Cedar Rapids at 107.5 FM, South Gym in Iowa City at 106.3 FM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today once again. And first of all, interesting, the sun is out now here. Well, it was a moment ago, starting to break through again here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Hopefully everybody made it through the rainstorm, and I mean rainstorm, that came through at about, 90 minutes ago, 1:30 or thereabouts anyway, at least through the metro area here in Cedar Rapids and Marion, and then turned tornadic with the possibility there as it moved into the eastern portion of Linn County, into Jones County, and into Cedar County. Heard a little bit as far as there are a couple power outages, a few trees that were damaged. Don't believe I've heard of anything as far as a tornado is concerned. That's the best news of all. But man, that thing came through with some ferocity this afternoon, Mark.
It did indeed, and it moved away quickly. But I know there's some tornado warnings up near Marion, Albernett, and then moving eastward and northward. But hopefully everybody made it through and on to the rest of the day, including 4 hours of local programming.
Yep, coming your way right here, starting now on KGYM. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That'll be coming up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock here this evening.
I don't think we have any warnings in effect on our shows, right?
No.
No.
No, you're very
much... Not yet, anyway.
Very much welcome.
Okay.
Very much welcome to listen in to the show here today. And if something does pop up, we'll be sure to let you know about it right here on KGYM. We're going to talk to Joe Sheehan here in about 10 minutes or so as we get into the last part of the Major League Baseball. Yeah, it takes a long time, but boy, especially when you're involved in some sort of a playoff race, it goes very quickly toward the end. And we'll talk with Joe Sheehan about that as we get into the last week of baseball. Playoffs start a week from today, with the wild card games coming up Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. We will have most of the playoff games, as many as we can possibly get in. I say that every year with that disclaimer. Yes, ESPN provides every game, but some go simultaneously. We've got football to bring you as well. And some of the games are in the middle of the afternoon, etc. We will try to bring you as many as we possibly and humanly can throughout the month of October.
We got two games tonight, right?
Got two games coming your way tonight, right here on KGYM. One a little slightly more important than the other one.
Yes.
No offense.
Yeah.
The Twins and the Tigers tonight on 107.5 FM beginning at 7 o'clock, 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. The big one, game two of the series in the NL Central between the Cardinals and the Brewers. Brewers got the victory coming back last night to defeat the Cardinals and move within a game and a half of the Chicago Cubs in the National League Central. And the Cardinals, I believe, are four out at this time. Cardinals go from hosting the Brewers to Wrigley for the final three of the year. Rockies won again last night. They are in the middle of the wild card chase at this time. They're also in the middle of the NL West chase with the Los Angeles Dodgers. That thing has not been settled as of yet. Braves are sitting back, just wondering what their path is going to be like as far as the playoffs are concerned. They are the team that has clinched right now as far as the National League is concerned. The American League is over. That a little tip of the hat to Hawk there. But we know all the teams in the American League. It's going to be Oakland and the Yankees in the wild card game. We don't know if it's going to be in the Bronx or if it's going to be out in Oakland. But we do know the five playoff teams over in the American League.
One fly in the ointment about, you mentioned the wild cards taking place Tuesday and Wednesday. There is a possibility of a four-team tie among the Brewers, Cardinals, Dodgers, and Rockies. They could all finish with the same record. In that case, you got a pretty substantial tiebreaker scenario. Dodgers and Rockies for the NL West, Cardinals and Brewers for one wild card spot. And then the Dodgers-Rockies loser against the Cardinals-Brewers loser for the other wild card spot. How MLB would sort that out would be very interesting. It's unlikely, but possible.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be probably played at some convenient time on a channel that we would not be able to get. So knowing Major League Baseball, and we'd be blacked out.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of the way it always works. But they always put out those scenarios, and every year you go, oh, my gosh, this thing could get ugly. And it usually doesn't turn out that way. But we'll see. Well, maybe chaos will ensue one of these years as far as Major League Baseball is concerned.
It's going to be very interesting. Brewers, Cardinals tonight, Pirates, and Cubs. That's really the division to watch, right?
With Chris Archer going tonight.
Yeah.
Well, that and the National League West.
Yeah.
And the National League West in there with the Dodgers and the Rockies going at it. We'll talk about that with Joe Sheehan coming up here in just a little bit. No Hawkeye game this week. Iowa enjoying their bye. I guess enjoying their bye, for lack of a better word. The coordinators are going to meet with media tomorrow, I believe at 1 o'clock. Phil Perker along with Brian Ferentz. And I know we'll be down there coming up tomorrow. Kyle's making plans to be there, and I'm sure Todd will be there as well. That'll be on Wednesday. Today, the teleconference with the Big Ten coaches. Kirk Ferentz announced that Nick Neiman was injured in the latter portion of the game against Wisconsin on Saturday night. And it sounds like Neiman's going to miss a little bit of time. He's going to miss probably the next couple of weeks or so. And at least according to the depth chart, there has not been a depth chart released for this week because there's no game. But Barrington Wade listed as the next guy in as far as that linebacker, outside linebacker position is concerned.
Could have happened the last play of the game in terms of Nick Neiman's injury, and he's going to be out a couple weeks, according to Kirk Ferentz. And that's tough. Neiman has been playing very well. Hopefully he can recover and contribute the rest of the season. But as they say, next man in, Barrington Wade's got some experience, but not a lot.
But I think a lot of people have been waiting for him to make his appearance and to make, you know, to see what he has to offer out there anyway. And I think people are going to get that possibility coming up for the Hawkeyes.
At Minnesota, a week from Saturday, and that game time again has been set at 2:30.
BTN, correct?
I believe that's the case.
I believe it is BTN. So that'll be coming up a week from Saturday. Iowa State will take on TCU Saturday night. Speaking of TCU, we're going to talk with Brian Estridge, the play-by-play man for the Horned Frogs, coming up tomorrow as TCU is 2-2, coming off of losses consecutively to Ohio State and Texas. So they can afford to lose another one in a row, can TCU. So, yeah, two teams that really need a win going at it on Saturday night, and I think that usually makes for a very intriguing matchup. So I'm looking forward to Saturday
night. Yeah, I would agree. A lot of things to ask Joe Sheehan, and I ask you, Scott, do you understand, you know, I follow baseball pretty closely, but these bullpen games, everybody's got a bullpen game these days. The Twins tonight will start Gabriel Moya, who's a late-inning guy.
Yeah.
They'll likely go one inning. Cole Stewart was the announced starter. And basically, you've got a late-inning guy pitching one, maybe two innings, depending on the pitch count. And then you got the so-called starter, who you hope to get five, six, or seven innings out of. Why not just start the starter?
It's a new thing,
Mark. I don't understand.
We'll ask Joe about it. get his thoughts about
like
that.
Like batting the pitcher in the eighth slot?
It's the new thing, man. Right. Although that was the new thing. Well, La Russa started that.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, what, 10, 12 years ago with the Cardinals. And then Joe Maddon has picked it up. Others have picked it up as well. So it's just how you look at it.
Yeah.
You can have two leadoff men, in essence, at the bottom of the order. So, well, one at the bottom of the order, one at the top of the order. And
interesting.
Personal preference, I guess. Personal preference.
We'll ask Joe about it.
We'll ask Joe about it coming up here. We are presented by Third Base Brewery. They are located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. And a great place to go after work with some friends. Stop on by. They are locally owned and operated. At Third Base, you feel like you're at home. And they are the presenting sponsor of the gym class right here on KGYM. Also on the program today, we've got more WWE Live tickets to give away for their holiday tour. And looking forward to giving those away coming up, as that is going to take place on Monday, November the 26th. Winner today is going to receive a four-pack of tickets to see the WWE Live Holiday Tour. You see Samoa Joe, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, New Day, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and a whole lot more coming to the U.S. Cellular Center in Cedar Rapids. Take a break, come back. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball with Joe Sheehan of the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. We'll do that when we return. Right after this, it is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM.
Coors Light, established in 1978 and born in the Rockies, where the only thing more refreshing than your current adventure is what's next. It's why Coors Light is lagered cold for a lighter, crisper taste. Filtered cold to ensure brilliance, clarity, and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve nothing less than the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Light. 2018 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Kirk Ferentz is the winningest coach in Hawkeye football history. In honor of his 144th Iowa win, the Gazette has released a special commemorative poster featuring this UI sports milestone. This unique piece of Hawkeye sports history features an iconic image of Coach Ferentz, along with his top 10 Hawkeye wins as ranked by the Gazette sports writer Mark Morehouse. Make this limited-run poster a piece of your Hawkeye memorabilia for just $14.95. Kirk Ferentz, 144 wins. Buy yours now at thegazette.com/Ferentz-poster.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
And accepting the award for his department is, Dave.
This award means so much to me and everyone. From the interns we don't pay to the folks in legal handling my harassment suits, one very special person made this award possible, and that's me. Is that playout music?
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa. Back with you in the gym class here at KGYM for a Tuesday. Scott and Mark with you at 17 past the hour of 3 o'clock. And I'm going to talk some Major League Baseball. Got a couple of texts on the Hertina Stocker Jeweler text lines to pass along at 319-366-1600. Hertina Stocker Jewelers, they are conveniently located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City.
Yeah, our friend Eric weighing in, Brewers pitcher last night, only pitched to Carpenter. And then was taken out.
He's a specialist.
Dumb, Eric says.
Dumb.
Indeed, Dan Jennings pitched to Matt Carpenter and then was taken out. It was a bullpen game after that. It was a bullpen game from the start, actually. 86-50. The best hitters are normally the 1, 2, and 3 hitters. This way, the starter only faces those three twice, theoretically.
I guess. I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me, but whatever. I'm dumb.
What would Nolan Ryan say?
He would face them and move on with that. Joe Sheehan set to join us, and please check him out, his baseball newsletter. It is outstanding, and it is terrific. And Joe, we're at last week of the baseball regular season. Man alive, where did the whole year go?
You know, as somebody who really loves the regular season, I mean, I don't dislike the playoffs, but I'm a regular season guy. It's always a little bittersweet the last week of the season, especially one where, you know, we don't have – the National League may end up pretty good. The American League's all settled. It's not like the chaotic kind of last week you hope for.
Well, the National League, it could be chaotic. But first, before we get to that, we were kicking around the bullpen starts and all that situation. And, you know, the advantages to it, what have you. It seems like everybody has picked it up now. And just your thoughts about it.
Well, it's two different things going on. One is the bullpen game, where you're pretty much going to run relievers out there an inning or two at a time. I really feel like that's what the Brewers did last night. The opener is something specific, where essentially what you're doing is you're taking your starting pitcher, and instead of having him throw, you're going to get 18 to 22 batters out of your starter these days. So instead of having him throw 1 through 5 in the third, you have him throw 2 through 6 in a third. And all it does really, it takes this concept called the third time around penalty. And effectively what it is the more times a batter sees a pitcher, the more effective he is against him. And what you do with this is you make sure that the top of the lineup only sees that pitcher twice. So you know, if he goes, say, 22 batters, he comes in 5 batters into the game, he's seeing the bottom of the lineup twice, which kind of mitigates the effect. So there are real tactical reasons to do this, not least of which is most relief pitchers for an inning at a time are better than most starting pitchers in the first inning. I wouldn't do this. You don't do this with Max Scherzer. You don't do this with Chris Sale. There are 50 guys you don't do this with. But there are 150 rotation slots in the major leagues. So there are 100 pitchers, 100 games a year that a team can get better performance, has a better chance to win by using this strategy. So I do think it's going to catch on. You're seeing teams like the Rangers, the Twins experiment with it here late in the season. I do think you're going to see more teams do this, use the opener with the back part of the rotation going forward.
Yeah, because right now you're going to see, like, the Twins tonight are going to start Moya. He'll go an inning or so maybe. And then Cole Stewart, who's normally a starter, is going to come in, and hopefully the Twins get 5 or 6. But normally it's the team's out of contention now. But you think you may see it more?
I think it's a winning strategy, guys. I think, again, we know the third time around thing is real. So when you're letting the top of the order tee off on a starter in the sixth inning, that's the most dangerous part of the game. And essentially what you're doing is saying, okay, we're going to take that advantage away from you. We're going to make you face – think of it this way. Let's use sixth inning just as a number. Your starter's going to go 6, and then you're going to bring in your seventh inning guy. But you don't know – the seventh inning guy then might be facing 6-7-8 or 7-8-9. This way you know your seventh inning guy is going to pitch in a tied game against the top of the order. That's a high-leverage situation. So you can always use, say, your third-best reliever – he's generally going to be better than your third best or fourth best or fifth best starter in a high leverage situation to start the game. And often as not, you can get the platoon advantage with that. This all started back in May when the Rays did this against the Angels using Sergio Romo against that heavily right-handed top of the lineup for the Angels. I don't think there's any doubt that the reason Dan Jennings started that game last night for the Brewers was that they knew Mike Schilt was going to lead off with Matt Carpenter no matter what. So you get the platoon advantage on the very first batter of the game. These are small edges, guys. These aren't edges that are going to win you a pennant in one night. But if you – these are free percentage points, little things you can do to increase your chance of winning on a given night a 0.5%. And if you – those 0.5% add up over the course of 162 games.
Interesting. Let's just hope you don't have a lot of tie games going into the late innings because you really pitchers right there. What would Nolan Ryan say to this? He'd say, "Give."
I'll tell you guys, Nolan Ryan in the 1970s was pitching against, you know, 4 guys in every lineup who couldn't hit the ball out of the infield if they stood on second base with a little bit of bat and extra helping at breakfast. I mean, the average player was so much smaller and lighter and less strong. It's a totally different game today. And this is one of the reasons why, we're seeing pitchers don't go as deep into the game because they have to work so much harder to the bottom of the lineup. When I grew up watching baseball, it was a bunch of guys like Freddie Patek and Larry Boa. I mean, those guys don't exist anymore. Larry Boa, who hit 270 with no home runs in 1977, that guy's Freddie Galvis now, who hits 240 with 20 home runs. It's just as valuable a player. It's just shaped differently, but it means that pitchers are more vulnerable. They can't just take off the three lineup spots a night.
Do we have to come up with a new stat now for this?
In what way?
Well, I mean, a reliever coming in, a starter that's, you know, essentially he would get the win if his team gets the win since he came in the second inning or the third inning or whatever the case may be. But do we have, you know, save came in. Do we have to come up with, you know, spot start winning percentage or something?
I think it's going to screw up all kinds of stats that we use. Like the Rays are going to set the record for fewest innings by starters this year. And it's not because their starters got rocked. It's because this particular tactic. It's all kinds of weird things that are going to happen. But if you look at it, the quote-unquote starting pitcher, the guy throwing the most innings, is still going to pick up the wins because of the way the win rule is structured. Kyle Yarbrough has, 15 wins now, and it's all because he's basically being used as a starter, but instead of throwing the first through and being taken out in the sixth, he's coming in the second inning and being taken out in the seventh. It's the same job. We're just back-shifting it one inning.
We're going to get into the races that still matter right now in Major League Baseball, but I wanted to ask you, Joe, about the Atlanta Braves. We talk very little about the Braves because of other very good stories in baseball, but the Braves are going to win the East, and wonder what you thought the Braves' chances going forward.
I don't think there's a single team in the National League that's good enough to be called a dominant favorite. I mean, I think the Cubs and the Dodgers have more talent, and they're deeper. But in a best of five against another good team in the Braves or whoever comes out of the wild card, I don't think there's enough of a difference that, you know, if the four teams that make the brackets, you know, 25, 25, 25, 25, none of them are going to be higher than maybe a 28% chance realistically to get through the bracket. The teams are just that evenly matched. The Braves have been a great story this year. You know, I didn't think they had the starting pitching to contend, to hold off the Nationals. Now, some of that is the Nationals had another train wreck, as they do every 2 years or so. But part of that is Sean Newcomb, Mike Foltynewicz, Anibal Sanchez out of nowhere for the first good season he's had since 2013. They built a rotation out of, you know, they got more production out of those three rotation spots than anybody, certainly I never thought they had any chance to get. That's the big difference for them. They're going to allow a run per game fewer than I projected them to. And that's entirely Foltynewicz, Newcomb, and Sanchez. And that's the reason they're going to win the division. And yes, in a postseason series, you look at Foltynewicz versus Kershaw. You look at Sanchez versus Lester. You say, okay, the Cubs and the Dodgers have an advantage there. But it's a small advantage. I think the bigger problem is going to be in the bullpen. They've assembled a bullpen in Atlanta. You have guys like Dan Winkler and Alan Minter have been effective. They traded for Brad Brock. But it's not a dominant shutdown bullpen. They walk a lot of guys. I think if the Braves are vulnerable in the postseason, it's in the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings.
Joe, let's talk about the two divisions that are still up for grabs. National League Central, the Brewers and the Cardinals going at it again tonight with the Brewers getting the victory last night. They move within a game and a half of the Cubs. Dodgers are now a game and a half ahead of the Colorado Rockies as well, and Dodgers playing really good baseball as of late. How do you see the two divisions coming out at the end of the week?
I've said all along the Cubs would win the Central, and the Cubs just refused to actually put the Brewers away. And let's give the Brewers some credit, too. They're heading for a 93-94 win season. That's a fantastic year for them. If they don't win the division, it'll certainly won't be because they didn't play well enough. The Cubs have had real offensive troubles in September. You look at basically only Schwarber, who hasn't played all that much, and Javier Baez are really hitting. Moore has been terrible. The catch has been absolutely terrible. The only run they got last night was on a solo homer by Cole Hamels, who, if I remember correctly, wasn't picked up for his bat. I mean, they've got to start figuring out a way to score some runs, get some guys on base. They're one of the worst offensive teams in the National League in September. That's the real concern for them right now because they're getting pitching that's enough to win, but they're just not scoring any runs. I mean, the Pirates are tough. The Pirates were the most recent team eliminated from the National League wild card. They outlasted the Nationals and the Giants and the Mets and all those other teams, and they're probably going to finish over 500. So this is a tough series they've got to play. And then, you know, this weekend they'll probably be facing a desperate Cardinals team. The Brewers go home to face the Tigers or whatever's left of the Detroit Tigers. So if the Brewers are within a game of the Cubs come Thursday night, the Cubs have a real problem on their hands. Because, I mean, the Tigers, that's a bad baseball team right now. So, I mean, granted, bad teams beat good teams all the time, I'm not saying, but if I'm the Brewers, I'll take being a game back with three to play when I've got the Tigers at home and the Cubs have to deal with the Cardinals.
I'm looking at the American League wildcard scenario, Joe, and you know what? The Yankees could win 97, 98 games and have to travel. I don't imagine they'd be too happy about that.
The winning the wild card means a little bit more to the Yankees than to the A's, and I say that for only this reason. If you're the A's, you fly to New York, you play the wild card game. If you win, you go right to Boston. If you're the Yankees, you have to fly to Oakland, play the wild card game, and then fly back east. There's a little more value to holding that spot. In one game, home field advantage doesn't mean a whole lot. I think the wild card team is, 5-7? The home team is 5-7 or something in the first 6 years of this format. Mm. So home field advantage in one game doesn't mean a whole lot. But the travel, I think, is a factor here that would come into play for, not necessarily for that game itself, but for either of these teams going forward into the playoffs. I think the Yankees would want to avoid those two cross-country flights if they could do it. They used the opener last night. They got a win against the Rays. This is another situation. The Yankees playing the Rays. The Rays are a great story. The Rays might win 90 and not make the playoffs. They'd be one of the best records to not make the playoffs in the wild card era. So you kind of look at that's a tough series to play. The A's, of course, getting the Mariners, who, like the Phillies, like the Diamondbacks, really seem to have run out of steam here. Now they're out of the race. I don't know how competitive they're going to be this week in Seattle. So the A's are still in very good shape to get a home game.
Is there going to be a backlash to change the way the playoff structure is with the Yankees winning so many and then having to, not having to play Cleveland?
Well, the argument is that, 10 years ago, the Yankees wouldn't have gotten anything. 25 years ago, the Yankees wouldn't have gotten anything. I would not like – I would prefer, if you made me commissioner, I'd have just the division winners make the playoffs. But nobody likes that idea. Everybody wants wild cards and expanded playoffs. The thing about it, guys, is in any given year, the distribution of wins can make one format or another format look good. I don't think you can change. And baseball did this, by the way, in 2012. Baseball reacted to the 2010 Yankees-Rays race, where basically both teams had locked up playoff spots in August and just cruised over the last 40 games. The second wild card was a reaction to that. I think if baseball were to change the format in a reaction to this, it's the same mistake baseball keeps making, which instead of saying, what do we want our playoffs to look like? They say, how do we solve the last problem? That's not a good way to run a league, but it's the way baseball's been run for 50 years.
Buck Showalter, of course, gone in Baltimore. That's no big surprise. What other managers do you expect to be on the chopping block?
I would be surprised if John Gibbons was back in Toronto. Looks like he's going to be gone. We've already seen Jeff Banister go. Bobby Evans was let go by the Giants this week. I think that means Bruce Bochy stays, but I wouldn't necessarily guarantee that. Jim Riggleman started very well with the Reds. They were 3-18 when he took over. He got a lot of buzz. But Riggleman's a caretaker manager. I think if you're the Reds, you've got to go out and find your A.J. Hinch. You got to go out and find your Alex Cora. Just letting Riggleman continue to manage this team doesn't really get you anywhere. So I think they'll make the right decision and go into a search for a new manager.
How much longer is Socha going to be around?
He will stay as long as he wants. I can't see the Angels, I can't see Artie Moreno firing Mike Socha. It could come to an agreement where he leaves, but I as long as Socha wants that job, and at this point I'm not sure Socha can get a better job than just managing Mike Trout and hoping he falls into a World Series. I think he's going to stay at least until Trout leaves.
Mookie Betts is the AL MVP, I would imagine. Who's going to win in the National League?
Not the guy who is the best player in the league. Jacob DeGrom has been the best player in the National League, pitcher or anybody. But I can't see the voters giving it to a starting pitcher on a bad team that's going to finish like 9-10 or something. It'll be Yelich or Baez. It'll be a weird thing where the Cubs win the division, the Brewers win the wild card, and Yelich will get more narrative credit for winning the wild card than Baez will for winning the division. But I think right now, because he's had a great second half, got a lot of attention for the two cycles, I think Yelich is going to be voted the MVP in a wildly split vote, guys. You're going to see maybe five different guys get first-place votes.
It'll be interesting. And this final week is going to be interesting in the National League, and we'll see how it all plays out. And Joe, always appreciate your insight, and keep up the great work with the newsletter, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Joe Sheehan joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Going to take a break. Going to talk a little more baseball when we come back. We mentioned the Hawkeye injury with Nick Niemann today as well. We can get your thoughts about that and a whole lot more when we return. But as we go to break, going to give you an opportunity to pick up some WWE tickets. for their big tour, their holiday tour that's going to be coming up on Monday, November the 26th. Great rundown of WWE superstars that are going to be at the U.S. Cellular Center. We're going to take caller number six right now at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You're going to get a four-pack of tickets to see the WWE live at the U.S. Cellular Center. We'll be back with more coming up after this.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because at Lowe's, pros can get up to 35% off select appliance special values. You can even save $138 on a GE Appliances white kitchen suite, now only $1,468. Plus, from 925 through 927, ask for 5% off all in-store purchases and save an extra 5% when you use your Lowe's business credit account. So, pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Appliance special values valid through 1017. GE Appliances offer valid through 926. Credit offer subject to credit approval and can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
It's a normal day. You're rushing out the door to get to work on time when suddenly, there it is, the dreaded service light. So what is it this time? Tire pressure? Low coolant? Time for an oil change? When it comes to service lights, head to Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. Drive in today and make the switch to Pennzoil. Ask for Pennzoil Synthetics, getting you back on the road in a jiffy. Jiffy Lube. Leave worry behind.
Hey, how much football is too much football?
No such thing.
Correct. And when it comes to business travel gotta-haves, how much is too much?
No such thing, especially at La Quinta.
Roomy rooms with workspace to spare.
High-speed internet that's as free as an uncovered receiver.
And La Quinta's bright side breakfast that could fill up a fullback.
Even free coffee that never takes a timeout.
There's no such thing as being too ready for that next big meeting.
So prepare to win at business with La Quinta.
Book now at LQ.com.
Back with you here on KGYM on the Gym Class. Congratulations to Josh in Iowa City. He's going to go see WWE Live. More tickets rest of the week coming your way right here on KGYM. Ryan Etheridge, TCU play-by-play man, will join us coming up tomorrow. Also coming up tomorrow, Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will be joining us. And also going to talk with author Mark Wilson tomorrow. He's got a brand new book about Niall Kinnick. So we got a big hour coming your way tomorrow right here on KGYM. And going to talk with Kristen from Kirkwood here in just a little bit as well. Text line open. Phone lines open. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in. Joe Sheehan just talked a little bit about the world of Major League Baseball, what is happening. Ryder Cup gets underway as well, Mark, coming up. Very late or early, depending on how you want to take a look at it. That will be Thursday morning. Thursday early morning, correct? They play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or just Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and France is 7 hours ahead of the central time zone where we reside, of course. So theoretically, if they tee off at 8 o'clock in the morning, Friday in France will be 1 o'clock in the morning here.
Right. Okay. And Zach Johnson with the team, of course, he is an assistant captain this year. It was interesting. You're getting all the trash talking hasn't started as of yet for the most part, but you're getting, you know, the typical Ryder Cup-esque questions asked of the competitors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's going to get sillier and sillier as we get close to it. It's too bad it's going to be in the early morning hours, and basically when we see it, when a normal person is up, we're going to know exactly what has happened. So, you know, that's too bad. That's too bad, I guess.
The United States hasn't won overseas in 25 years. Phil Mickelson, as much experience as he's had in Ryder Cups, has never won overseas. I think the United States has a slightly better team, but the home team, and so to speak, gets to set up the golf course.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a big advantage, and the U.S. will have to overcome that.
They will, and can they? Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, how Jim Furyk is going to set his lineups, because most people in the golf world were thinking that it was going to be Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods playing basically once a day. They'd play once Friday, once Saturday, and then play in the singles. Now, with Tiger doing what he is doing, do you throw Tiger out there every round? Now, that's a bit of a gamble on a couple of different fronts, because obviously the back, he's played a lot as of late.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, can the back take 72 holes in 48 hours?
I don't think it'd be wise to play Woods or Mickelson every, all five sessions, unless one of them gets hot or they're grouped together, which is a possibility, and they get off to a good start. By the way, there's two sessions each of Friday and Saturday. We'll be able to watch the afternoon sessions live, actually. They'll start about 6 in the morning. So we'll get a good piece of that.
That first part will not be live. Well, we'll we'll be...
The morning sessions will be...
I'm not getting
very
up
much
at 1 o'clock.
Early in the morning.
To watch... I love golf, Mark.
Well, you may be just coming back from a... high school football game that if last week is any indication...
2 weeks ago.
Any indication, you might be able to catch that first round in the wee hours in the morning.
Catch those first tee shots as well. And be good to see the United States. United States used to own this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to say it's been 25 years since the Americans have won it on foreign soil is...
Of course, it's not played every year.
Every other year.
Yeah.
Every other year. And they did take an extra year off.
Well, every 4 years it's played overseas.
So. Correct. So a little bit misleading, but still. And like to see Tiger do better in this competition. He has not had a good Ryder Cup or President's Cup record over the years.
Nobody won the Tour Championship, and I'm very curious to see whether that's going to be a springboard for him and the team, or there'll be a little bit of a hangover.
This usually brings out some tremendous golf, too.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of one-upsmanship, if you will. But I think in a good way. You remember a couple years ago when it was at Hazeltine up in Minneapolis? A lot of Iowans went up there. And you had the, that's where Captain America was born. Patrick Reed will be loved again this weekend, by the way. And then he'll go back to, I don't care about Patrick Reed.
That was his sparring with Rory McIlroy.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
When they tried to one-up each other and the
shaking fingers.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But you know what? They shook hands afterwards, even on that hole.
Yeah.
Had a good time and moved on. So that was terrific. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's going to love Patrick Reed this weekend. Everybody is going to love Patrick Reed this weekend. Am I wrong about that?
If he wins.
Well, he'll be all red, white, and blued up and be our Masters champion going into it this weekend. Not that guy, I guess he won. Not going to root for him too much out there. Orioles and Red Sox have been postponed for tonight. They're going to make it up as a doubleheader on Wednesday. Oy.
They're going to love that.
Oy. Nothing says fun like a doubleheader with a team that's lost 111 games or something that the Baltimore Orioles have done. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk with Kristen from Kirkwood here in just a couple of moments as we talk about how you can get your coaching authorization through Kirkwood. You need that if you're going to coach high school sports, and I think it's going more and more toward that as far as youth sports are concerned. Mm-hmm. I know some of the youth organizations also require that as well. So
as they should.
As they should. And background checks and all that. And we're going to get to Kristen coming up in a moment.
On the text line, the U.S. players, 47-46, by the way, U.S. player performance last weekend, except Tiger, is really worrying. Phil Mickelson finished last in the Tour Championship. Bubba Watson didn't play well. Patrick Reed didn't play well. Jordan Spieth didn't even make the Tour Championship. Does 1 week make a difference in regard?
I think the Euros are favored going into this thing.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I think so. Just based on their team, based on what they have as far as the home course advantage, how it's going to be set up. It's going to be raucous. It was raucous 2 years ago up in Minneapolis, but going to be even more raucous.
0601, what does the position of assistant captain mean? What will he be doing? It's either assistant or vice captain. I'm not sure the terminology, but Zach Johnson, along with David Duvall and the other vice captains, will help Jim Furyk, correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, will help him in making the pairings. They'll be out on the course all five sessions with different groups. Zach will be assigned one group.
Just some more eyes out on the course.
Yeah.
Is basically what it is. Yeah. And they'll have a little bit of input as far as Jim Furyk is concerned and selecting how they're going to match people up. But, they're going to be out there roving the golf course as well as Furyk and Duvall and Zach will all be out there. And it's just, guys that have been through it before, they can also talk with some of the newbies about what to expect. And that's the reason why he's a vice captain or assistant captain or whatever you want to put it, because Zach has been good in these events, really good. He's got a great record, and he knows exactly – he's got the mentality to put everything off, not have the rabbit ears, and do well.
Another vice captain, Matt Kuchar will teach everyone how to play table tennis in the team room.
Cooch. 3:45, we'll take a break, come back. Kristen will join us right after this here on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
KGYM, your home for everything football. Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, NFL, and Smart FM. The soundtrack for your tailgate festivities. In-depth insight from UNASH and Dukes. Todd Brommelkamp with Alex Kuhn and Smart Rock from Smart FM. To get you ready for all the action throughout the fall. From great offense and defense to great Aussie and AC/DC. From before the boom to back in black. Your football entertainment is covered with KGYM and Smart FM.
Friday at 3, tune into 106.3 FM and get ready for Regina football action. Zach Mackey will be your host alongside Gary Fickle for the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard.
Kenny Albert here from Westwood One with a Thursday night football preview. Tony Boselli and I will call the action from Los Angeles as Todd Gurley and the Rams host Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. Can the Rams keep their perfect record clean with a fourth straight win, or will the Vikings pick up a road victory? Join us to find out and hear the NFL all season from Westwood One.
Thursday night football, the Vikings at the Rams, Thursday at 7 on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, KGYM. It's a big Metro 4A District Football Showdown this Friday night on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join John Haggerty, Jeff Moss, and me Friday at 7 from Kingston Stadium as the Kennedy Cougars meet the Washington Warriors. Kennedy won their district opener and looks to stay at the top of the standings against a Warrior team that really needs a victory to stay in contention. That's high school football. Kennedy at Washington, Friday night at 7 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, KGYM.
Thank you.
3:48 back with you here on the Gym Class on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. We're very happy to welcome Kristen Verhoevert into the studio with us.
Is that a Dutch name?
It is.
Yeah.
Very Dutch.
Very Dutch.
Yes. it's a mouthful.
You're honorary Dutch now, right?
Yes, I guess so.
Congratulations. You were married since the last time we saw you.
Yep. Yeah. Almost a year now.
Almost a year. Yeah. Fantastic.
Thanks.
And it's going well, huh?
Yes. I'll keep him.
Very good. Very good. How's everything at Kirkwood?
Going good. Yeah. Yeah, just gearing up for the fall session right now at Kirkwood, so it's going good. Yeah.
Excellent.
Tell us all about it. What's involved in becoming a coach, an authorized coach?
Sure. So we have two different ways you can be an authorized coach. You can take our coaching authorization program in person, which is two different weekends back-to-back, and we have locations in Cedar Rapids, in Coralville, and also Monticello for the winter. But basically, it's 55 hours in class time, learning about all the different things of coaching, theory and ethics, human body function, human growth and development, prevention and care. So there's the weekend two-weekend seminar in person, or you can do an online class as well. So basically, to be a coach, you just have to complete those courses and then do a fingerprint check and concussion training and apply to the state, and then you're good to go.
Any sport, any grade level? Is that right?
Yeah, any sport, any grade level below college.
Okay.
Okay. And we were talking about the fact that there are a lot of youth organizations now that are also sending their coaches your way.
Yes. Yeah. A lot more people are needing their coaching authorization and kind of getting into those like little peewee classes or sports too, or kind of almost down to then. So it kind of just depends on the district and their rules. So it's always a good thing to have that experience though too.
Wasn't always you needed to be authorized. Why and when did this all start taking place? It's fairly recent, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just kind of to ensure that we have ethical coaches on the field and, you know, they're meeting the guidelines that the state has for everybody and passing the background check. So just keeping those kids safe on the field and making sure everything's kosher.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting because you mentioned the concussion part of it, and safety is certainly paramount as far as sports. I don't care if it's at the youth level or all the way up to the professional level. That is one of the things that people are looking at, and I know you guys do a great job of teaching that part of it.
Yeah, so yes, we go through a website actually that the state has to learn how to do the concussion training, and it's about a 20-minute session within either session, so either the in-person or the online, and it's about 20 minutes, and you learn all the thorough kind of stuff about the concussion training, and then also there's a new element this year is heat training too, so that's really important for those summer month sports as well. So,
is it a one-time authorization, or do you need to be renewed every so often?
Yeah, so every 5 years you do need to do a renewal. You can, and there's different activities that you need to do, so you don't have to take the whole 55 hours again. There's just little separate pieces that you need to redo again, but every 5 years is when you need to re-up it.
So. Yeah, well, and I think that's good. That's good to keep everybody refreshed and up with the modern techniques.
Yeah, things change too. So, you know, just because you took it 5 years ago doesn't mean the taping techniques are the same or even the concussion, you know. So things are always changing to be better for the players and everything. So, yeah.
Ethics. That's a big part of it too, because there are a lot of things that if you were a coach in 2018 that you got to deal with that you weren't dealing with when you were a coach in 1978.
Yeah, a lot different. Yes, definitely. So we always get feedback that part of the class is the most favorite, too. So there's a lot of discussion and, you know, what would you do or how would you handle the situation? So, you know, it's kind of a big topic right now.
Does your program reject coaches or is it the state? Based on background or whatever it may be.
The state will reject students. So we always encourage them if they have something that they think is questionable, they can always contact the state first before taking our program. But,
probably the ideal situation to do. Now, to the nuts and bolts of it, how can people get signed up either online or come to Kirkwood directly?
Yeah. So, yeah, they can register online. The website is www.kirkwood.edu/coaching, or they can call our phone-in registration, and that's 319 398-1022. And then they can just tell them that they want to register for coaching that way, and then either online or in person. So
yeah,
it's pretty easy. You make it easy for them.
And you mentioned 55 hours, and how is that split up if you want to do it in person?
Yeah, so yeah, it's two weekends back to back. So it'll be Friday night, 5 to 10:30 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and then again the next weekend. So it's a big, long time, but that's what the state requires, is the 55 hours. And then if you do it online, it's basically the beginning of the month to the end of the month. So you have about 30 days to finish the online program before it closes out, and then you can't finish it, or you need to finish it within the 30 days to be eligible.
I think it's great for Kirkwood. I think it's great for the coaching out there. I think it's great for all the high schools, because it gets you set up to what you're going to see when you're out there, no matter if it's at the JV level, the ninth grade level, or all the way up to varsity assistant or even head coach, whatever the case may be.
Exactly. And sometimes, depending on the weather or the schedule, the class will go to different sporting events in the community and watch for about an hour different coaches and how they react to situations, and kind of just get that on-field experience and kind of watch things that are going on.
Yeah, I think it's important on the youth level, too. Having been a Metro Youth football coach, I didn't have to go through the training or whatever. I would have passed the background check.
I hope so.
All right.
Mark would have been fine.
But I would have learned a heck of a lot more, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot that we cram into those 55 hours. So
right.
Educational stuff.
Give the website one more time for people, just in case they missed it the first time.
Sure. It's www.kirkwood.edu/coaching. Or honestly, if you just go to Google and you type in coaching at Kirkwood, it should come up first with the listings. And then the phone number is 319-398-1022.
You've been out there quite a while now.
Yeah, it's a little over 5 years. So, yeah.
You're enjoying it, obviously.
I am, yeah. I can't believe it. It's weird how fast a year goes, though. Like, every time I'm like, I feel like I was just here. So that's kind of scary.
Favorite Dutch dish?
Oh. I don't even know.
Is there any?
I don't know. I like
whoa,
those. Like,
whoa, whoa.
What are those things you get on the airplane? Like the little streusel?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm probably not saying it right, but those are good.
They're very known for a lot of their desserts.
Okay.
That's okay with
streusel
me.
Streusel and
exactly.
That sort of thing.
Well, yeah. Is that Dutch or German?
I don't know. You got a year to get back to us, okay?
Okay, I'll do my research.
Check it out. I know there are a lot of people taking advantage of it, because we're getting more and more people in coaching that are not teachers now.
Correct.
So that's and I think it's just going to continue to grow each and every year. So you're going to be busy.
Yeah, I hope so. And the minimum age for the coaching is 18. So even if you're a high school senior thinking about getting your coaching authorization or being a coach eventually, it's a good idea to kind of get it now. So.
And a lot of college kids, even going through their careers, become coaches.
Yes, a lot. I would say that's the majority. So, but we take any age, but the minimum is 18. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Kristen, appreciate it. Always good to see you.
You too. Thank you.
And thanks for stopping by.
Sure.
And keep up the great work out there at Kirkwood with the coaching authorizations. All right. We are going to step aside. Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That's coming up next right here on KGYM. And they will talk a little bit more about some Major League Baseball happenings. Of course, the Nick Niemann injury today that Iowa talked about, and a whole lot more. And we got a busy show tomorrow.
We do indeed. Bowling Night in America preview, of course.
How could we forget about that?
We'll talk about a new book about Niall Kinnick, Chris Liss on fantasy football, and TCU football we'll discuss. And in the next local programming block, we'll have an Emil's Hideaway poll question for you. KGYMradio.com.
Mark did not need a coaching authorization to be the captain of the Rusty Nails.
No, I didn't. All right. I might have to check into that, though.
You may have to check into it, though. All right. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here, and boy, do I have a deal for you. The deal with this deal is that you get both a breast and a whole wing when you choose my new 100% white meat.